Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Dave McGinnis, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach Mack, how are you?
Jonathan, good. Paul, Mary Frances, good to see you, Coach.
Game 256, final game of the regular season for 2018. It's Titans and Colts for a chance to go to the postseason. Considering where they were to begin the month, this is exactly where the Titans wanted to be.
Well, I mean, they put themselves in this position. And you know, the Colts really are kind of in the same stead. Now, they've won a lot more games in a row, but they started out, you know, a lot worse. So both of these teams with first-year head coaches, first-year former player head coaches, have done a nice job of navigating the 17 weeks that are the National Football League. And so they both got them here, and this is, in essence, a playoff game.
But consider, too, Paul, and we didn't even really bring this up, but considering that you needed just anything to go their way for the scenario for them to get in the postseason, and not a single one of them happened until the last play of the last game that could have helped the Titans have a win and end scenario with Pittsburgh fumbling against New Orleans. That's crazy.
No, I mean, but that's the NFL. I mean, that's why you've got to play it out, and you play it out every, and then plus, that's why you can't predict it either. I mean, you can sit and say, and you can look at all the numbers you want to look at, and you can do anything you want, but once you play the game at 3 hours and 10 minutes, that's what decides what goes on. And so you can never, you know, the only thing you can count on is your preparation. That's what you've got control of. You've got control of your preparation, and then you've got to perform. And you've got to perform, you know, at a high level. And if you don't, and it doesn't work out for you, then you've got to be able to move on to the next week and perform, because you never know what's going to happen.
You are good with officiating scouting reports. So what do we need to know about Walt Anderson and his crew?
This will be a pretty, I mean, it's not an over-officious crew, if I can say that. I mean, you know, this is a crew that'll pretty much, and I expect them to pretty much let them play in this thing, which, you know, you would love to have happen, because, you know, this is, in essence, a playoff game. You know, but Walt Anderson is one of the more level, if I can say that, because we've seen some unlevel ones. We've seen some ones that aren't real even. So
I'll say this. Coach Mack doesn't have to. It's a big game. Jerome Boger's not calling this game. Yeah. That's message sent right there.
How long has it been since Jerome Boger has had a playoff game, Jonathan?
At least 4 years.
Okay. That's enough said, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully it'll be 5 this year. Yeah.
And there we have it.
615-737-1045, our number. I think everyone wants to think of the Colts, and we think of offense. Should we automatically begin to think defense with this team?
Well, you should all year. I mean, if you really go back and study it and you break down the tape, you know, I don't know when you guys have Blake on.
It's coming up today.
Okay, well, good. Well, he'll look at it, and he'll tell you the same thing. Look, when you watch what Matt Eberflus has done with his 4-3 defense, it's different. Because most of the time when you run a 4-3 defense, you're going to run a 3 technique and you're going to run a shade. All right, and what that means is you put the 3 technique to the outside shoulder of the guard, to the tight end side. Your shade is to the open side. He's in the gap between the center, okay, and the guard next to him. And then you deploy your linebackers behind him. They're all off the ball. You play your ends in 9 technique and a 5 technique on the open side. That's the standard alignment for a 4-3 defense, okay? What he has done, because he didn't really feel like that he had a 3 technique in the mold of what a Jarrell Casey is, what an Aaron Donald is, you know, what an Atkins is, those guys that can skim a shoulder and move and make a lot of penetrating plays off of an outside shoulder, he moved them both to 2 eyes. We call them their 2 eyes. They move to the inside shoulder of the guard, not the inside shoulder of the center. That, you know, that's a goal line defense. That's different. But he's taken his anchor points from that 3 technique and from the shade, because the shade normally lines up closer to the center. Anyway, he's moved them out, and then he's stunted his line. These backers are key and flow linebackers. They're fast flow linebackers. That's why Darius Leonard has had so much success in this. He's essentially playing the same position that we had Keith Bullock playing all those years that we had a 4-3 defense here. All right. He's lines up to the open side. He's fast flow. You know, Keith Bullock played off of what the stunts were going off in front with Kyle Vandenbosch, with Albert Hainsworth, with the whole crew that was up in front of him. But they have to be able to run. They have to be able to skim the edges. And those people inside have to be able to cancel their gaps when they're running stunts and then get back into the flow of a offensive play. When you attack that, what you have to do, you have to be able to identify and get a hat on a hat on the stunts. That's critically important, okay? So what they've done by doing that, they forced you just on man-on-man blocking, the inside zone, the thing that hurts an inside zone or outside zone play is penetration. They've lined up in a penetration-type alignment with those two eyes so that they can knock back up front. And so it's very critical in that center guard triangle to be able to at least get a stalemate up there so you can start a play. And then the stunts that they run, you're going to have to identify those stunts because they're not stunning to rush the passer. They are stunning to fill run gaps and let the fast flow linebackers go. I mean, that's in essence what we're looking at, what you're facing, and they're playing zone defense behind it.
Which is perfect for the to go against the Titans offense who wants to run it, right?
Well, it's worked against everybody.
I mean, it worked against Tennessee for sure.
Yeah, well, it's worked against everybody. This defense is a good defense, and it's not real complicated, you know, because as I say, it's mostly a zone defense. Now, he'll shoot a backer through a B gap every now and then, and he'll do some of those things, but what he's done is play fairly stable in the back end with his own defense. And then what also he's done because of the offense, because the way that the offense works, we'll transition to the Colts offense now. They have done such a good job. And I'm talking about the quarterback and Frank Reich. RPO is a much overused word in this league in sports talk. When you talk about RPOs, it's a run pass option. But when you're truly, really running it, you know, you're keying the movement player. Whoever the movement player is, whether it's backside or front side, the quarterback, Andrew Luck, has done a tremendous, tremendous job with this. He's done a great job with this, all right? And they've been able to stay ahead of chains with people. They've also been able to separate scores. You separate scores, that allows the defense to play like they're playing.
Just real quick, going back to that Colts defensive line, you said those tackles are on the inside shoulders of the guard or the outside shoulders?
They're on the inside shoulders of the guard.
Okay.
It's called a two-eye alignment.
Coach Mack with us. Let's go to Aiden up on line one. Aiden's been watching some film. I know you've watched the same. What's up, Aiden?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. Super excited about the game this Sunday. But I was calling to see, I know y'all said something about the Jaguars defense and how they shut out the Colts, but I was wondering if there anything that you've seen maybe from the New York Giants offense, like maybe some of the passes that they did, because I know they shut down Saquon Barkley, but New York Giants put a lot of points on the Colts defense. So I was seeing if you've seen anything, maybe some packages that maybe Tennessee Titans can use this Sunday.
Yeah, Aiden, you know what New York did, and they look, first of all, you know, they've got an experience. They got a 37-year-old quarterback that's seen most all of those zone looks that they gave him. He was able to hit some seams in there. Now Barkley, Barkley wasn't a big factor in the ball game continuously, but Barkley drew a lot of attention. Okay, Barkley drew a lot of attention, you know, and then Peyton Manning was on. I mean, he was hitting some shots in zones in between the creases, you know, and those types of things. And everybody has that stuff. But what they were able to do is they were able to get a score separation early. We always talk about separating scores. When you separate scores early, it allows the play callers both sides of the ball, and plus it makes a difference in the way that you play your special teams as far as to what you do field position-wise. But the Giants were able to control that, unlike they were able to control that against the Titans when we played them up there, you know, in MetLife, you know, a couple of weeks ago. That's why I say every week you've got to come ready to play, but then every week you've got to be able to adjust to what's going on that day.
Can anything be taken from the Jacksonville film when you watch that and what Jacksonville did against Indy?
Yeah, Jacksonville's got the best defensive personnel man-to-man in the league. Throughout the roster, they are the best, and if they play up to what their capabilities are, they can do that to nearly every team in this league.
So they just played to
They played, Paul. They played. They didn't do anything special, but they played, and they played consistently. Okay, they played consistently. They didn't turn the ball over, and they just, you know, the defense, when you go man-to-man, if you go man-to-man through the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm talking about just performance ability. I'm talking about skill sets. And you say, do you want him? Yeah. Do you want him? Yeah. Would you like him? Yes. Would you like him? They played up to those yeses.
So, Paul, they look like an all-star defense.
Yeah. So not that much you could take away from that, I guess.
Well, get good players.
Yeah. What about
make them play good.
Eric Ebron in this game? We're watching Marcus Mariota's status very closely. The other status we should be watching very closely, Eric Ebron coming off a concussion. Huge difference with or without him for the Colts this weekend. How much different of a team will they be if he's not on the field?
Well, they'll be different because he's a factor. He's a factor, especially, Paul, in the red zone. He's a big, big red zone force for him. And then plus what they do, too, this has started to be early on in the season. They were using multiple tight ends. They don't do that as much. They still do some. But they will go a lot of 3-by-1 and put him flexed on the backside to get one-on-one matchups. I mean, this guy's like a big wide receiver. He can run all the route tree. He can do a lot of things, and they scheme him open a lot.
How did the Titans cover him last time? How should they cover him this time?
Well, it just depends. It depends on where they put him, and it depends on the chains. It depends on down and distance. That makes a huge difference. But what you've got to know when you play him, if you play him by yourself, you've got to understand where your help is, and then you've got to use leverage coverage against him because he does a really good job of setting up man-to-man people, much like a point guard, you know, coming down the he'll set things up, and then he's able to run the route trees.
Tell us defensively how you counter what Andrew Luck will do at the line of scrimmage, identifying what he sees and the motions that take place. You're mentioning the RPOs and putting T.Y. Hilton in the slot and moving around guys to determine what coverages are being shown. Explain defensively what we will see from Dean Pease against Luck at the line of scrimmage.
Well, first of all, when you play an RPO team, the first thing you got to do is identify who is the move man that they're reading. There's always a movement player that they're going to read. It's either the backside will linebacker. It could be the safety. Sometimes, you know, some people have taken it to advance to reading one of the down linemen as far as whether they're going to hand off, where they're going to throw, what they're going to do, the front side and the back side. You identify that. Now, to be able to counteract all of that, you have got to be very static in your pre-snap looks. And a lot of times, I heard you mention bogey. Bogey is sometimes when you try to show exactly the opposite of what you're going to be in once the ball is snapped. So it's a lot of pre-snap, post-snap, but it takes a lot of discipline defensively to be able to not line up and give them a sense of where that movement key is that they're going to want to read. And you cannot let them know on a consistent basis what you are in when you are in conflict downs. Remember what I'm talking about, this type of thing. I'm talking about conflict downs. Conflict downs are when a defense has to play run pass 50-50 at the snap. Okay, if you've got them in down and pass, you're not worried about it so much. Okay, if you've got them, if they're trying to run the football with first and extended because of penalties, you're not worried about that. But what you do concern yourself with is if they're able to stay constant with the chains, you cannot give them a definitive pre-snap look that's going to be where you are once the ball is snapped.
Now let's go a step further with that.
Okay,
Jarrell Casey on injured reserve. That means guys like Austin Johnson and Daquan Jones, and we can go on and on here, but Benny Logan.
Yeah, whoever it is.
Everyone's discussing the pass rush there, but you mentioned the 50-50 downs. I would want Andrew Luck in third down and pass. To do that, you've got to stop the run early and often against one of the better interior offensive lines in the NFL. These guys that are stepping up for Casey now, they need to not just play well, they need to play as well as they ever have, right?
Well, let's extend that. Extend that to the people that are behind them, too. You know, a lot of times what Jarrell Casey does, when you talk about setting an edge, building a flat wall, Jarrell Casey makes a lot of off-schedule plays as a down defensive lineman. The great three techniques or inside linemen can do this, and sometimes you don't have perfect gap fits, but they will take care of what they do, and then they will be able to skim off and catch something before it finds an open spot. You know, Jarrell Casey has made a career out of this. Aaron Donald does this a lot. Look at your better three techniques throughout the league. A lot of those guys, Albert Haynesworth was that guy. He wasn't necessarily always in the gap. He was supposed to be in, but he was canceling gaps and making plays to make up for some of those things. Those are off-schedule plays, much like a running quarterback makes off-schedule plays that makes a difference sometimes when things break down. That's what you're going to miss with Jarrell Casey. Okay, so you've got to be very solid up front, but the second-level defenders, whether it be linebackers or safeties, they're going to have to be extremely, extremely constant with their gap fits, and they're going to have to be hard downhill, and they're going to have to be able to do some things, not knowing when that big play's going to come from Jarrell because he's not there anymore, okay? So that's going to put pressure not only on whoever is replacing Jarrell, and you've mentioned the names, and they're going to roll people in there, but those second-level players are going to have to be gap fit up too.
How about my plan? I don't want a third lineman in there unless it's absolute obvious run down. Otherwise, I want extra backer. I want best players on the field, and I you can't give me Benny Logan over Correa or Evans or you know, or Finch if he's healthy enough to be out there, or Jayon Brown or Woodyard or any of those guys. Load up on the linebackers.
Paul's going to name 52 players before he gets to Logan.
Right.
Well, what you've got to do, Paul, look.
He wants Brett Kern out there.
If it's
I do.
Brett Kern's a Pro Bowl player.
I know.
Brett Kern's going to the Pro Bowl, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Okay, but what you've got to do, you've got to be able to, those first downs, you're still going to have to be able to play it with some legitimacy, you know, of a 3-4 defense. Okay, now, if you can extend the down, and it doesn't necessarily have to be down and past third down, okay, to get into the 3-3-5 or some of those things that you're talking about, which he has done a lot. You know, we are talking about run defense right now. You might be able to do that some early, but you can't make a constant habit out of it. But what you do need to do is if you can get them to second and extended and third and extended, then you'll start to see a lot of that stuff, because, you know, we started talking about playing the run with Jarrell Casey. Also, we're going to miss him a lot of the things that he does game wise and then one on one wise in the pass rush. That's where you can start to manufacture some of it with that 3-3-5 stuff you're talking about, Paul, and probably not with Brett Kern. The way you can use Brett Kern on defense, punt the ball well.
Indy, I know Coach Mack described this in pregame when we were at Indianapolis. Defensively, their sum is greater than their parts.
No doubt.
That's what the Titans defense has to be on Sunday night.
Has to be.
And has been most of the year, except now they've
now lost more than ever.
Two of their four most sound.
They need to be known for that.
Defense.
Yeah. No, and Paul brings up, I mean, that's a fair point right there. That's what they have been, and they've lost two very important pieces. You know, let's not forget how important Logan Ryan was to what he had a great year. He's a good football player. He's a smart football player. Casey's the same way. I mean, you've lost two pretty major pieces there, and so the other pieces have to even pick it up more.
I'm not saying you've seen any practice here. Can you do anything different with T.Y. Hilton than what we saw in the previous matchup, where you just let Adoree Jackson follow him? My point being, you're going to defend their wide receivers differently than the way they defended Washington last week, right? Now, LaShawn Sims isn't always going to be in the slot. At least that's my uneducated viewpoint of it. I'm letting Adoree Jackson follow T.Y. Hilton and allowing the others to play matchup as well.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of that depends on down and distance too, you know, because they'll do a lot of things. Let's go back to Indy. Here's what they do. On first down, a lot of T.Y. Hilton's big plays, when you go back through and grind the tapes that he's done, has come with 12 personnel that looks like 21 with a fullback in the backfield, a tight end on the backside, and then a slot formation, which is two wide receivers to one side, tight end on the other side. Ebron or whoever their tight end is in the ball game on the other side. But they're also in what we call a flop, where the inside receiver is off the line of scrimmage, the outside receiver is on the line of scrimmage. A flip formation is when the inside receiver is on and the outside receiver is off. They can do a lot of things to be able to, and that's where a lot of his big plays off of play action have come with. And so the big part of this, first of all, is, again, we keep going back to this. You can't let Marlon Mack in this run game take this ball game over. You ask what you do again, different against T.Y. Hilton. You can do a number of things different against him, but you have to put him in positions where, I mean, you can't just build your whole game plan around stopping him. There's other parts to this offense, starting with the way the quarterback manipulates this offense.
We made it to the end without asking you about the quarterback. What degree of limitation can you take from Mariota where you still play him? A lot of people say, if the guy could walk, he should play. Well, you know, if he's got numbness in his arms and in his arm and he can only throw 15 yards, do you play him? What degree of limitation can you accept the way you play him?
Well, first of all, you know, at this time of year, nobody is completely healthy. Now, going with Marcus, Marcus has dealt with this before. We've seen this, you know, we've seen this before. I don't know exactly where he is now. I don't ask. I really don't ask, because it's not my place to ask exactly where he is. But to the magnitude of this football game, I mean, if Marcus Mariota can play, Paul, and I would assume you say what degree of health, you know, I can't give you a percentage of health, but if he is the starting quarterback, then you know that he can maneuver, he can execute the offense. That I do know.
How much would his maneuverability factor in against Indy's defense and the way they play?
It factors in against any defense. I mean, you saw that with Josh Johnson, who came off the couch to play. Anytime you've got a quarterback that can make off-schedule plays or can extend plays not only with his feet, but with his feet and then being able to throw, it makes a difference. You've got a mobile quarterback, it makes a difference.
You have said this season that the crowd has made a difference, even when the stadium is not full. You've been impressed with how loud it's been at times. It's going to be full on Sunday night, and it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere.
No. We need the crowd. I mean, you guys have been here. I mean, you guys have been here from the start of this thing. I mean, you know how this stadium rocks. And this is a loud stadium when it can go. Now, they've got stadiums that have been built since. You know, Seattle was built to bring the noise back down to the field as an outdoor venue. But this, I mean, last week the crowd was great. I mean, this crowd was rolling last week, you know. And I mean, and so, Tennessee Titan fans know how to be loud. And look, it affects the game. It affects the game. And especially as much on the line, at the line stuff as Indy does, we're going to need that. And also, look, it's huge on defense. I've coached defense for a lot of years in this league, and it makes a difference because playing defensive football, there's a lot of emotion that goes into it. We need that too.
Coach Dave McGinnis is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You can hear him on the call, Sunday Night Football Titans Radio. Both Coach Mack and Mike Keith with the play-by-play story, Titans and Colts here at Nissan Stadium. Always great to see you, and we'll see you this weekend.
Thank you, Paul. You guys are the best. Mary Frances, did you get all that figured out over there for Paul?
As soon as her internship is ending, she's figuring it out.
She didn't find it.
Mary Frances, why would you lie to me and not to Paul?
Once her day's free up, she'll get this down.
All right, thanks, guys.
She just nods to Paul and hopes that he'll shut up.
She looked at me, Coach. Went, I don't care. I'll see you guys.
Classic double nod. Her neck is stretched out in all directions now.
We'll hear from...